Welcome. Today I'll be interviewing Dr. Sorpong Pu. He's a professor and a chair of the Department of Politics and Public Administration at Ryerson University. Mr. Sorpong Pu is also a member of the Yeats School of Graduate Studies. In addition to holding a PhD in International Relations and Comparative Politics from York University, Dr. Pu holds a Master of Arts in Political Science from York University, along with a Bachelor of Arts Honors in Political Science and Peace and Conflict Studies from the University of Waterloo. Security and Democracy Studies with a regional focus on the Asia-Pacific are a few fields that Dr. Sorpong Pu specializes in. Dr. Pu is the author of Human Security Studies, Peace and Security in the Asia-Pacific, International Democracy Assistance for Peace Building, and Conflict Neutralization in the Cambodia War. In addition, some of Dr. Sorpong Pu's teaching interests include international human rights and criminal justice institutions, development studies, political economy, conflict, economic development, international security, and international relations. Dr. Sorpong Pu, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Dr. Pu, I'd like to start off by asking you the following questions. One of your publications, Human Security Studies, Theories, Methods, and Themes, examines the concept of human security from different methodological and theoretical perspectives. Different themes of global intervention are available in terms of dealing with human security. What are some of the most effective ways pertaining to strengthening our human security today?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a very long and complex question. It's very difficult to answer in a few sentences, but let me try.
Yes.
As you know, human security is a relatively new concept emerging in the mid-1990s. It's not that new, but it became a concept that was formalized by the United Nations Development Program, UNDP, and has since become a concept that has a lot of appeal to students and scholars alike. And for me, there is a clear distinction between human security and national security as key concepts in the study of international relation or international security. While the concept of national security tend to be very state-centric, focusing on what states do to protect themselves, the study of human security is a concept that addresses the concern about the security or personal security of individuals. In other words, state versus individual. It's more about the protections and the empowerment of individual human beings. So, national security is a concept that focuses on what state do to protect themselves. Human security, from my perspective, is something that scholars use to address the concerns or the threats to people, and that is a challenge because we are used to the idea that states need to be protected, but we focus less on what can be done to protect individuals, regardless of where they live. In other words, the concept is so broad and has been subject to criticism because it's not easy to operationalize the concept. It's abstract, it's vague, it deals with 7 billion people rather than 200 states.
Right.
So that has been a challenge. But I would say the distinction is very clear, state versus people or human beings.
In addition, Dr. Pu, I'd like you to discuss some of the radical perspectives that are out there in terms of human security, specifically please provide a general overview of some of these radical perspectives made by critical theorists and feminists?
Yes. Well, the concept of human security, in my view, can be defined from a liberal globalist perspective. And that is individualism is very central to the concept. Human rights, individual human rights, personal freedom, and all of that. So from my perspective, it's quite liberal. But the concept has been also accepted with a degree of caution, depending on where you belong in terms of your theoretical position. Critical theorists tend to be critical of the liberal concept of human security, although the concept of human security is not something that they usually use. But my impression is that they like that idea of human security. The critical issue that they have with the liberal concept is that, is it possible to promote human security or to protect people from a liberal, by using liberal instruments, such as military intervention, such as even democracy building, economic development based on the idea of neoliberalism. So critical theorists are generally critical of the neoliberal approach to human development or human security because they think that the structure of domination in the global political economy does not allow certain classes to really do much to protect people or empower people. In fact, they think that people have been subject to manipulation, to exploitations and things like that. So it's a good idea. The concept is good, but they question the approaches, the perspective, based on their own critical theoretical assumption. So, instead of celebrating the markets, they question whether the markets will lead to equality. And from a feminist perspective, gender issues are very important to them. And there are different versions of a feminist version. It's very difficult to classify them. But generally speaking, gender issues are central to feminist thinking about human security. At the end of the day, from a feminist perspective, people matter. Women's rights are human rights, something that is people are generally aware of. But again, there are different feminist perspective on this. You have liberal feminist perspective who tend to think that, more can be done to ensure equality between men and women, and peace building is an area that they also interested in making sure that women's rights, women's security can be better ensured. Because, concerned that global institutions tend to pay attention to men and trying to the neglect of women, for instance, is a concern that some feminists have about human security. Peace building for who? Is it for men, for former combatants, rather than for women who...
It'd be good for it to be a combination of all of those factors and to take into account both men and women
and children and also racialized groups and all of that.
Absolutely.
So the feminism tend to be more inclusive in terms of its theoretical thinking. And that's why I feel that feminist perspective have enriched the study of human security and should be taken seriously, actually. Although I wouldn't consider myself a feminist, but I think feminist perspective have some good insight that can enrich our understanding of human security. And human security does not mean that you don't care about the security of the state. It simply broadened, from my perspective, to include not just state security, but also the security of human beings.
Which is crucial.
Yes.
In terms of the challenges, what would you say are some of the challenges associated with military intervention today for human protection, for international criminal justice, smart sanctions, human rights, democracy promotion, and human development? How would you see military intervention as posing a challenge to some of these factors?
You know, I was once a victim of war, and my family and I were on the list for execution. But the Vietnamese intervention in Cambodia in late 1978 set us free, more or less, and then we migrated to Canada, as you know. So I'm not totally against military intervention, because at a certain point, under certain circumstances, there is no choice but to intervene militarily. But at the same time, I am worried a lot about the use of force as a way to protect people, because the use of force can be counterproductive, can also make things worse, because the use of force tend to also lead to more conflict subsequently. Just an example from my personal experience in Cambodia, and that is after the Vietnamese intervention. Yes, the Khmer Rouge reign of terror was put to an end, but at the same time, the war continued for another decade. The use of force has a way of creating suffering for ordinary people, and that's why I'm not very critical of military intervention for human protection, but at the same time, I caution against it. And I think a lot of scholars, a lot of policymakers recognize that the use of force should be the last resort. But at the same time, even as the last resort, it can be potentially counterproductive. I'm concerned about the military intervention in Libya. Yes, we put an end to the reign of terror, whatever you want to call it, by Gaddafi. But at the same time, the social economic consequences are problematic. And the use of force tend to destroy social infrastructure, even, people's life. So I'm very, very concerned about the use of force as a way to protect people. I think we need to adopt or use other instruments that are more proactive rather than reactive. The use of force is basically reactive, okay? A group of people are just about to be massacred or slaughtered, and we need to go in and put a stop to it. There is a merit to that, for that. But at the same time, it tends to destroy. And then when the social and political structure breaks down, then you have more problems. That's my concern.
Perhaps if people are more proactive, then that use of force would be considered as a last resort, mm-hmm. a last means to, mm-hmm. to engaging yes. in military force.
Yeah.
At the same time, there are certain circumstances where military force, as you mentioned, yeah. is mandatory, is yeah. necessary, and it does benefit, people who are in a critical situation
yeah.
where
yeah.
other modes of resolving yeah. the issue would not be existent.
And also the use of force can be abused as well. From my perspective, if big powers use force, they can be accused of being imperialistic. So that's another downside of the use of force, because people would not find this legitimate or legal. And that will create a lot of tension at the international level as well. So the use of force is always subject to criticism. No matter what you do, it's always a problem. And this is something that we need to think very carefully about when we use force to protect people. But at the same time, we need to also consider other options that are more conducive to creating a positive environment for human security. So, as I said, I don't rule out the use of force completely, but we need to be very, very cautious and very careful about this policy instrument. I think there are other instruments that could be, far more effective in the long run. I understand the immediate circumstances that we leave no choice but to, right. to do it. I understand that. But so oftentimes, because we rely on the use of force, we tend to do very little. And wait until things are getting out of hand, out of control. It's too late for other policy instruments to be implemented successfully.